turn to Romans chapter 8. We started a lesson last week on what is the local church. What is the local church? We stated that it's not a building. You know, a lot of people refer to church as a building. But according to the scriptures, our bodies are the temple of God. When we get saved, our bodies are were indwelt by the Holy Spirit. What is the function of the local church? Well, we've seen in the book of Acts, we've seen the teaching of God's word, fellowship with other believers, prayer, the observance of two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper. We also seen it's to be a testimony of God's grace and power. It's for mutual assistance and ministry to reach out into the community to glorify and praise God. So we looked at all these things last week. And then how do I function properly in the church body? Well, we need to observe and learn. Our first priority is to submit to the teaching of God's word. As 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But then not only do we need to observe and learn it, we need to take time doing that. It's in relation to, if we think about it, three stages of growth, where we grow physically from a child. That's the time we need to observe and learn. The Bible says as babes desire the sincere milk of the word. Babies don't eat food until they get a little bigger, but they want that nourishment from the milk. We need to observe and learn from God's word. But then there comes a time when you start, you get into the teenage years, and then, or youth, but you need to start learning how to participate in time. You're learning or being taught what some of the things, the basic functions through what we must do in the church. James 1 says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. But then there comes a time, you start as a child, you know, in relation to a child, in relation to a youth or a teen. But then there's that time of becoming an adult. And that's the time we come and we start leading. Our growth continues. We should reach a point where we begin to minister to others. We share with what we have learned with others. But then we need to be patient. That takes time. We need to remain faithful to God's word, and to the local church. Well, and then we went through a few things there. How do I find a particular local church that God wants me to serve through? Well, there's a few things, a few questions we answered, and then we're going to get on to the next part of the lesson. Well, first of all, we need to start praying about it, asking God to show us, because the Bible tells us if we ask, He will give. We seek out wisdom, He's going to give us wisdom, but we need to ask for it. We need to observe the qualities of a particular church and compare them to the biblical requirements of the local church. Such as, do they believe and teach the Bible as the Word of God and the infallible guide for life? Is the membership encouraged to read and study the Bible as much as the leadership does? It's important that we spend time in God's Word. We need to be like the Bereans there in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. It says, let's just turn there real briefly. Very good verse. It says they were more noble. It says these were more noble than those at Thessalonica in that they received the word what with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. How many of us go home, and I'm not asking you to raise your hands, but how many of us go home and take what I've said today and compare it to what the Scripture says? Does it match up with Scripture? That's what we're talking about. Are we here ready to hear what God has to tell us from His Word? Is there evidence of soul winning? Are we out trying to witness and trying to get people to come to Christ? Do we minister to the needs of the people? That goes back to Acts chapter 6 where it talked about the deacons, where the first deacons were started. They were there to help with the serving. They served the apostles. They helped with the needs of the church because there are needs, physical needs that need to be taken care of. Do they send out and support missionaries? That's another thing that we ought to be doing. And we do that. But today, we're going to be seeing there in Romans chapter 8, how am I related to other Christians? How am I related to other Christians? They are your brothers or sisters in Jesus Christ. Be sure to understand only those in Jesus Christ, saved people, are your brothers regardless of any other factors. It's all those that have trusted Christ for salvation that are born again. Likewise, those not in Jesus Christ, unsaved people, are not your brothers regardless of any other factors. Romans 8:29, where we're looking at, and it says, "For whom did he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." That was talking about Jesus Christ. He was the firstborn. He was the first one to rise from the dead. And he's still living today. But then we see there in 1 John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, in verse 1, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." So we're going to be like Christ. That's why we're continually trying to draw closer to him in our walk. Where he says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." We need to be separate from the world. He come out from among them, he says, and be ye separate. All the way through the Old Testament, if we were to look at the read through the Old Testament, it talks about how constantly God's people were getting involved with other nations, and God was telling them, don't mix. Just like we're not to be unequally yoked with non-believers. Why? Because they don't get along. Spiritual things and non-spiritual things do not go together. We see in Romans chapter 9 and verse 8. It says that is, they which are the children of the flesh, they are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And then he goes on in further, Isaac is the promised son that Abraham and Sarah had in their old age. Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90, which it was she was way past the time of childbearing. But God, there was a miracle there. God gave them the promised son. They got impatient. Sarah gave Hagar to Abraham, and that's where Ishmael come from. A nation that should never happened. But because of they failed to be patient on God's promise. But then we see in Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. It says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee." And this is, Jesus is being made a little lower than the angels. And he dies for man, that he may lift men above the angels in the family of God. He took on our sinfulness for his righteousness. But then he says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So how are we related to other Christians? We see many passages here now talking about brothers and sisters in Christ. But 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verses 5 through 10. It says, "Who Then is Paul, or who was Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God give the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth or he that watereth are one. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. And then he goes on to tell down further, we're going to read up till verse 10, about our Christian service and the rewards that we can receive. He says, "For we are the laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Another buildeth thereupon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." See, Paul's telling us here that the foundation is Christ. It doesn't matter who wins anybody to Christ, but Christ is that foundation. I'm nobody. Brother Tim's nobody. We're just doing God's work. We're just trying to share salvation with the world. We're not here to count up how many people we won to Christ. We're not counting people like some places do. Well, I got so many people saved this week. I got so many. That part of it is not important. It's important that we're winning people to Christ. But we're not here to keep track. We're here to try to win all we can win because the time is short. And as we get closer, as I believe we are getting closer, there's going to be a day when it's going to be too late. And we're going to be asked, what did we do? As you go down further here in chapter 3, in verse 11, it says, "For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because he shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." So they have two comparisons here. Our works could be the works after Christ, which is referred to as gold, silver, and precious stones. Or we can have works that we've done of our own accord, which is refers to as wood, hay, and stubble. But it's going to be tried by fire. Which is going to last through trying of fire? It sure is not the wood, hay, and stubble. "See, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward." One day, we should be working towards rewards that are going to be last for eternity, and that's winning souls to Christ. But he said, "If any man's work shall be burned," all those things we do that we don't do for Christ are going to be burned. "He shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." There's going to be a day when we stand before Christ and he's going to ask, what did you do? As a Christian, you're going to stand before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the judgment seat of Christ, and he's going to ask you what you've done in your time frame. He already knows what we've done, but he wants us, we're going to be accounted for everything that we've done in our bodies. And that we're going to be judged by that. And what lasts, all that we've done for Christ is going to last. It's going to show, we're going to have something to show for. We're going to be rewarded for that. But all, a man's work shall be burned and he shall suffer loss. We wasted all of our life trying to build up treasures here on earth. For what? For it all to be burned up. For all of it to be disappeared. But he says, "He himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." That goes back, that's another good verse for eternal security or assurance of our salvation. Once we've trusted Christ, we cannot lose our salvation. If you truly have trusted Christ. But what you do in your body, it does matter. There's a lot of people out there that say it doesn't really matter what we do. Well, one day when they stand before God, they're going to have to answer for that. Each and every one of us have to answer for our actions. So we're fellow laborers in the service of Jesus Christ. We're here to be a help. There's no competitions. That's what bothers me when you see churches that don't fellowship with each other. We're all on the same team, so to speak. There should be a lot more helping each other, helping these people over here, helping these people, but there's not. We're fellow laborers in the service for Jesus Christ. What are my responsibilities towards other Christians? What are my responsibilities? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. After there, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, the labor of love, and the patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father." We need to pray for each other. Almost every one of Paul's letters opens with a prayer for those he is writing to. We need to be praying. How many times, and again, I'm not asking you to show hands. How many times have we not prayed for each other when we should be? We need to spend, the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I believe it's verse 22, or maybe it's not verse 22, where's it at? Verse 17, I apologize. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Pray without ceasing." We always should be in the attitude of prayer. We should always be talking to the Lord. And when people come to our mind, we should stop and pray for them. And we could do that throughout the day. We need to pray for those. We need to pray for each other. We are to minister to each other physically for those in the local church, your family, as well as the entire body of Christ in other areas. See Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. It says, "As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." We need to help each other when the time is right, when somebody's in need, especially those in the household of faith. We're to help each other. Romans chapter 12 and verse 13. Romans 12 and verse 13. It says, "Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality." Let's back up a little bit. Let's go back to verse 9. It says, "Let love be without dissimulation." That word dissimulation here simply means hypocrisy. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. That's, we're to hate evil, okay? "Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints." When we know somebody's in need, we need to take care of them. We need to help them. Especially if we have it to give. Again, that's between you and the Lord. Given to hospitality. We need to be hospitable. We need to be, again, that goes along with fellowshipping with our brothers and sisters. We need to spend time together. "Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men to low estate. But not be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." That's what we ought to do. Sometimes it's not possible. Sometimes there's difficulties. Sometimes there's disagreements. We just need to deal with those and move on. So we see there in Acts chapter 11, this will be the last scripture we look at in this section, or dealing with this particular subject. Acts chapter 11, verses 27. It says, "In these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and they stood one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the earth, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. These then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." So it's just an example of them sending relief. And what they mean by that, there's physical needs that need to be met. we need to try to be a help to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. But there's also not only physical, we're to minister to each other physically when there's needs, but we also need to minister to each other spiritually. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6, start in verse 1 and 2. It says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." You know, there's going to come a time when we need to come alongside somebody that's having a hard time and or having difficulties or may have been, it says, overtaken by a fault, you know, fallen into sin. We need to come alongside them and be an encouragement to them. Try to build them up. Try to bring them back into fellowship with Christ. Bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. How do they know that we're Christians? By our love for each other. That's how people know. But when they see us among ourselves, bickering and fighting among ourselves, then the world gets a bad taste in their mouth, and they don't want no part of it. Because they're saying there ain't no different than us. We do contend with the flesh, but we can have victory over the flesh by dying to the flesh and allowing God to work through us. We need to yield ourselves, making a commitment to Him and yield ourselves to Him. We see in Romans chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, it says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification." We need to be in the business of trying to build others up. And anytime we run across somebody that's going to sit there and backbite and stab us in the back, we need to shut them down and say, "Hey, we need to encourage them, people. Stop talking about them like that." We need to be that. And thank God we're not like that here. I haven't heard of anything like that. But I'm saying when that does happen, when you hear other people doing it, we need to shut them down and say, "Hey, that's not good." We need to build people up, not tear them down. Because the only person that tears people down is the devil. And he wants to tear us down because he don't want nothing to happen here. He don't want us to get any bigger. He don't want visitors to come. He don't want us to grow any. Because if we don't grow, then we can't be as effective as we could do as we see growth. We get more people involved in the local church, and then we have a greater outreach because we can do more with more people. Because there's power in the people. There's strength in numbers. Just like when Moses' father-in-law come to him and says, "Why are you bearing all the burdens yourself? Find some good men in the thing and help them judge the small matters, and you do the big stuff and take some of the load off yourself." It's a great blessing. They say many hands make light work. That's why we need to work together. We need to encourage and edify one another. We need to serve one another. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3 and 4. It says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not on every man his own things, but every man also on the things of others." See, that kind of goes along with the fact, you know, how much of a blessing it is when we were able to help others. It's a blessing when you're able to go help somebody that can't pay you, so to speak. And you know they need something done, and I'll just do it. It's not for a pat on the back. It's to be a blessing to them. There's many times that we have those opportunities. We need to take those opportunities because in the end, we don't do them for the rewards, but there's great reward in it. I don't know how many times I've tried to be a help to many people, and it's just a blessing. I love it. It's great. Money's not everything. I know it. Hey, it makes the world go around, they say. It's a big blessing when we have it, but it's not everything. And I'm not saying when we're in business that we could do free things for everybody. It doesn't work that way either. But there are those that we need to help. We need to serve each other. Let's go to Matthew chapter 20 and verse 25. Matthew 20. Verse 25. It says, "But Jesus called them unto him and said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister." In order for somebody to come up to a leadership in something, they first must start low. How many jobs do you go out there and get? You start at the top of management. That doesn't happen. Unless, of course, you've had prior experience and you've had schooling and all the education that goes along with it. You don't go to a place and get hired on as a manager immediately unless you have previous experience. We have to start out. When I started first working at 14 years old, I started out washing dishes. And it was a job. When I got my first paycheck, I was on top of the world. $300 some for 40 hours worth of work, or 80 hours worth, I can't remember. I was only making $325 an hour, but it was a blessing at 14 years old. But you have to start out there. Then there was a day I started cooking. Well, cooking is great. Then I worked as a supervisor in cooking, and then it came to the point to where maybe we didn't have a dishwasher one day, and I asked the cooks, I said, "Who wants to go do dishes?" Nobody wanted to do it. I thought, well, I'll go do dishes for cook's wages, you know. And you don't have to deal with the hard waitresses you got to deal with. You don't have to deal with people. You're just over there cleaning dishes. It's wonderful. It's kind of nice. There was a day I hated it, but now I don't mind it. But we have to start at the bottom in order to get to the top. We have to start. He says here in Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 through 28. He says, "But Jesus called them unto him, and he said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever shall be great among you, let him be your minister. Whosoever will be the chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." We could go over to Philippians. I believe it's in Philippians chapter 2. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus." Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." He was God in the flesh. "But he made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. Being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross." Those who make the greatest leaders are willing to be the greatest servants. We must be able to willing to serve others before we can lead them. And if we're willing to get down and serve, then God will do the exalting. We need to serve one another. We need to encourage, edify one another. So that's our responsibilities towards each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. What should be my attitude towards other Christians? Not only responsibilities, but our attitude. What should be our attitude towards other Christians? Well, the primary attitude should be to love them. We need to love our brothers and sisters. There needs to be a love far greater than what the world gives. Let's look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. It says, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." Then we see there, "And is a murderer, and we know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we love the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." We need to come to such a point that we love each other so much. But then there's another thing here. This is where we lack sometimes. We need to be patient with each other. We need to be patient. There's going to be times that we don't feel like being patient. There's going to be times that we don't want But we need to be patient with them. Verses chapter 15 of Romans, verses 5 through 7, it says, "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may be with one mind and one mouth. Glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God." We need to be patient. We need to be patient. The Lord knows my wife has been patient with me. As we get to know each other more, she's patient. I can't use the example of saying I was waiting on my wife, that's the reason I was late. I can't do that. Usually she's waiting on me. It's the other way around. She's patient. We need to be patient with each other. Not only that, but 1 John chapter 3, verse 17, which goes along with our loving one another. But 1 17 to 1 John chapter 3. It says, "But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." But then we're going to look at John chapter 2, or James chapter 2. It kind of goes along right with this. James chapter 2. He says, "What doth it profit when my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." That's why just a belief in God is not enough. We need to be born again. We need to be saved. "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" If we say we have faith and we're not willing to follow through with what God has asked us to do according to the Scriptures, then we're not. Our faith comes in question there. I'm not here to determine whether somebody's saved or not. But God does tell us in His Word that we will know them by their fruits. We are to be fruit inspectors. But only the person in God will actually know whether they're truly saved or not. We need to be sensitive to others' needs. But then, this is a big one. This is a big one where we all fall short. We need to have an attitude of loving one another. We need to be patient with one another. We need to be sensitive to our needs, of the needs of each other. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. But we need to be forgiving to each other. We need to be forgiving. It says, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." See, we have been forgiven, so therefore we need to what? Forgive. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." We need to follow in His footsteps. In order to be like Christ, we need to forgive others. And when it talks about forgiving others, that's going to them and saying, whether you asking them for forgiveness or them asking you, you say you're sorry, truly mean it. And what does that mean? That means you forget it and walk on. Don't bring it up again. Just like, Brother Bobby Brown, he was an evangelist. He's gone to be with the Lord a couple years ago, actually, in September. He used to say, "God has cast us as far as the east and from the west. He's cast it into the deepest seas." He says, "Don't go out there and drag it back up. Forgive it, move on." That's what he says. God forgets it. We need to forget it. Because if we harbor things that people do against us, guess what? We only affect ourselves. It only hurts us. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13 says, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Again, it goes back to loving one another. It goes on to loving one another. We're going to stop there. There's so much more here to go through and do, and I just want to take my time as we're going through this because it's good stuff. We need to hear this. When I'm pointing my finger at you, four more are pointing back at myself. So I'm in the same boat. We need to live these things out. So how am I related to other Christians? We're brothers and sisters in Christ. What are my responsibilities to our other Christians? Well, we first of all need to pray for each other. We need to minister to each other physically and spiritually. We need to encourage and edify one another. We need to serve one another. Now, there was an example in the scriptures of Christ coming and washing the disciples' feet. And there are some churches out there today that we should have a foot washing service. Well, I don't agree with that. What I agree with that principle is the simple fact of serving one another. That's what he's trying to teach us. We need to be willing to humble ourselves to be a servant to one another. We need to help each other. But then, what should be my attitude toward other Christians? Well, we should love them. We should be patient with them. We should be sensitive to their needs. And most of all, we need to forgive each other when we're done wrong by each other. This is some good stuff. And why is this important? Well, it's important that we be sensitive to the Holy Spirit working and pricking our heart. As the Bible says, all scripture given by inspiration of God is profitable for what? For doctrine, for teaching, for reproving us. We need to be reproved. We don't like it. When somebody tells you you're wrong, when my wife tells me I'm wrong, I don't like it. But when I realize it, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Once I realize I've been reproved, and again, like I said, I don't like it. We need to correct it. We need to make it right. But it also says, for instruction in righteousness. Not only when we get it right, we need to get in the scriptures. It's good for instruction in right. It tells us how to stay right. That's our goal. We need to do that. Pray for one another. Love each other. Be patient. Be sensitive. Forgive one another. What a blessing it will be. Isn't it so nice being able to come to church and fellowship with somebody that's like-minded and not be issues going on, not underlying things going on? It's just such a refreshment. Coming to church for me, there's days I don't want to be here. But after I leave, I thank God for it because you know something? I have enjoyed the fellowship with one another. I've enjoyed being around you guys. We're like family. And that's the way it should be. Let's pray.